WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. It was a much less deadly Thanksgiving on Virginia's roads this year. A community group in Harrisonburg wants to bring public transit back to Rockingham County. And elections are over. So now the General Assembly prepares to reconvene, and Jeff Shapiro joins us to assess the transition 2024 in Virginia politics. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, December 1st. Traffic deaths in Virginia were way down over the Thanksgiving holiday. The Daily News Record reports that the number of fatal crashes over this year's holiday was down 53% compared to last year. State police data show that 9 people died in crashes this year compared to 19 in 2022. Most of those who died were not wearing a seatbelt. A community group traveled from the Valley to Charlottesville on Thursday as part of their efforts to bring public transit back to Rockingham County. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Church leaders with the group Valley Interfaith Action, or VIA, along with representatives from major employers and the county government, took a 14-seater bus ride over the mountain on Thursday. They traveled to the headquarters of Jaunt, the regional transit organization that serves Charlottesville and the counties of Albemarle, Buckingham, Fluvanna, Greene, Louisa, and Nelson. CEO Ted Reek led them on a tour of the facility, which houses about 80 vehicles. All their rides are fare-free.
We serve about 800 to 900 people a day across 7 jurisdictions. And most people will call into our call center here, come on down, and they'll book a ride.
This is a different model from the newly launched MicroCAT program in Albemarle County. Jaunt goes further out into their service region, but you have to schedule a few days in advance to be sure they're available. VIA wants to bring their services to Rockingham County. Helen Momo, an organizer and Blessed Sacrament Catholic Church parishioner, explained how valuable this kind of service would have been to her in years prior.
I was pregnant at one time and I didn't have any means of transportation. And this particular day I needed to go to church and someone picked me up and I was really craving for bread. I couldn't get to the store because the person who picked me up was kind of in a rush.
VIA is lobbying the Rockingham County Board of Supervisors to approve Jaunt applying for a state demonstration grant that would cover 80% of the program costs for the first year. The remaining 20%, or $200,000 for a limited initial rollout, could come from private employers or the county. After the first year, state and federal funding would likely cover 70% of program costs. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
We've posted photos of the tour at WMRA.org and on the app. In 2020, lawmakers in Virginia worked with law enforcement groups to pass new rules aimed at decertifying police officers facing allegations of misconduct. 3 years later, Governor Glenn Youngkin's administration has prevented key parts of the law from going into effect. Ben Pavier with VPM News reports.
Before 2020, officers could only be decertified after being convicted of felonies or certain misdemeanors, or for refusing a drug test. The law passed by Democrats said officers could also be decertified if they lied in an investigation or if they didn't follow statewide standards. A work group went on to develop those policies, which say officers can lose their certification for misconduct like evidence tampering. But the Youngkin administration has let the regulations sit for over a year, even though the law required them to be passed within 280 days. Democratic Senator Scott Surville helped write the bill.
The governor raised his right hand to take an oath to follow the law just like I did, and the law needs to be followed. These regs are now 700 days overdue.
Youngkin's spokesperson did not answer specific questions about the delay, but said some regulations are under review for, quote, compliance with statute.
Ben Pavier reporting. Well, as lawmakers are prepared to return to the Capitol, one issue is certain to come up again in the next General Assembly. Marijuana. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
It's now legal to possess small amounts of marijuana in Virginia, but nobody has a license to sell it because the General Assembly has repeatedly failed to create a system for licensing authorized retailers. J.M. Padini at Virginia Normal says the new Democratic majority will be constrained by a Republican governor who has the power to veto or amend anything they send to him.
That's the million-dollar question. Can they get a bill to the governor that he will sign or at least let take effect?
Previous efforts have included social equity licenses, prioritizing people who have a criminal record for breaking drug laws that no longer exist. Dylan Bishop is a lobbyist who has worked on this issue for years.
I think Republicans have a fundamental and moral issue with having folks that have a criminal record of some sort automatically put in the front of the line to get a license over somebody that may have a totally clear criminal record.
The lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have expressed frustration with the current situation, although so far no consensus has emerged about what to do next. I'm Michael Pope.
Orange County is known for the James Madison Museum, Montpelier, the Wilderness Battlefield, and now the public's right to information about planned development. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman reports.
Last spring, the Board of Supervisors approved the largest rezoning in Orange County history, making it possible for developers to build more than 5,000 homes, businesses, and industries on 2,500 acres. There was considerable opposition from the public, worries about traffic, damage to nature, and history.
You know, water for the development would be coming from the Rapidan River, which we're concerned doesn't have enough to support anything of anywhere near that size. It's the site of some abandoned historic gold mines that are contaminated with mercury, the wilderness battlefield that impacts, you know, historical resources.
Don McCowan keeps tabs on development for the Piedmont Environmental Council, but Orange County wouldn't tell him who was planning what in this area. Area known as Wilderness Crossing.
In some of the documents that they had turned over, they referenced non-disclosure agreements.
And when he asked to see those, the county said no. So the council sued. Officials then provided the NDAs showing Amazon was a prospective buyer, likely hoping to build a data center that would require extra power and water to keep computers cool. McCowan says this tactic is being used elsewhere in Virginia to fast-track data centers. His group is now waiting for a list of documents the county is still withholding and an explanation of why. I'm Sandy Hausman.
And finally today, it was a big election year in Virginia, but 2023 is drawing to a close. And attention now turns to 2024. Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, joins Michael to recap the week in politics and state government.
Later this month, Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to meet with the money committees and outline his budget proposal for next year. Jeff Shapiro, what are we expecting?
This is actually a two-year budget, and this is the so-called legacy budget, as we've discussed earlier. This will be the fiscal cornerstone of Youngkin's governorship as the only full budget he introduces. You know, despite the setback in the election that he now, Governor Youngkin, faces a Democrat controlled legislature, it looks like he's going to be pushing forward with some forms of tax relief. The Democrats don't seem much interested in that. But there are clearly opportunities for consensus between a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature. And that includes education, school funding, whether it's K through 12 or higher education, mental health, a big, big priority of the governor. Also, as well, law enforcement doing more to help police, standing with the blue, as the governor says. We'll be seeing soon enough, come early January, whether this is going to be a legislative session shaped by contention or cooperation.
And then looking ahead to election 2024, we've got two members of the Virginia delegation who are leaving their seats, Jennifer Wexton and Abigail Spanberger. And I understand a lot of people are throwing their hats into the ring here.
Of course, Jennifer Wexton leaving because of her Parkinson's diagnosis. Abigail Spanberger giving up a congressional seat to stand for governor in 2025. The General Assembly is something of a farm club for these legislative races. There are no less than four members of the General Assembly who are interested in congressional seats. John McGuire, newly elected state senator, is running for a congressional seat against fellow Republican Bob Good. This is a campaign that's going to be fought way out on the right. A new state senator, Subra Mining, running for Wexton's seat. Sewell and Guzman, delegates, running for Spanberger's seats. Lots of moving parts and the possibility of lots of special elections, depending on the outcomes of these primaries and elections for the House of Representatives.
And then finally, we've got committee assignments. So it seems like the next General Assembly session is kind of taking shape already, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And if one considers that there are 51 newly elected delegates and senators, most of them fully new to Richmond, there are lots of bump ups in seniority. As I think you and I have discussed with some curiosity and amusement, Aaron Rouse, a Democratic state senator from Virginia Beach, who hasn't been in office a year, is going to be the new chairman of the Senate Privileges and Elections Committee. That's a highfalutin name for a committee that's responsible for overseeing election laws. But in the Senate, where there are 17 new members, Senator Rouse is getting quite that bump up in seniority. Ghazal Hashmi is going to chair the Education and Health Committee. Patrick Hope is over the House side, is going to chair the Courts Committee. Luke Turian going back as chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. And Mark Sickles, who is essentially the number two on appropriations, is going to be chairing the House Health, Welfare, and Institutions Committee. All high-profile appointments for some members who haven't a lot of time in the General Assembly.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Good weekend to you.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Friday.